This podcast contains general educational information on weight loss for physicians. I am not providing medical advice, and listening to this podcast does not create a physician-patient relationship. This podcast does not replace the need for consultation with a licensed professional, and no information should be relied upon unless you have obtained specific advice or treatment from myself or another physician. Please review the terms and conditions located at www.weightsolutionsforphysicians.ca before continuing. Welcome to episode 281 of the Thriving as a Physician podcast, How to Lose Weight and Love Your Life. I'm your host, Siobhan Key, and I have a really special episode for you. Today, I am sharing a bonus episode with the second live session in my Binge Freedom Bootcamp. So all month of March, I've been offering free binge eating support. You may have heard, but I know some of you haven't had a chance to join us in the live sessions and maybe haven't had a chance to check out the official replays. That's why I wanted to share the audio of the replays here on the podcast. You may still want to go over and access the replays so that you can see the visuals that I'm talking about, but I think the audios are going to be really powerful for you. So in this bonus episode, this is a really, really powerful one. This live session that I did last week was talking about binge eating in a way I've never taught it before. And I don't think you will have ever had anybody teach it to you like this before. And what we were talking about is, where can you actually intervene, right? It's so easy to get focused on, okay, I have to intervene on stopping, just don't eat, I'm having an urge to binge, I'm going to try not to eat, I'm going to try not to binge. And that actually is probably one of my least favorite places to intervene. Here's why. It's hard. You know it's hard. And it also probably doesn't work a lot of the time. Yes, I can teach you how to intervene at that moment where you're really wanting to eat. I can teach you tools, but I consider those higher level tools. And they wouldn't be what I would start with. If you're feeling really out of control with your eating, I would not recommend starting by just trying not to binge, just because I think it's not setting yourself up for success. What it's doing is setting yourself up for a spot where you're going to feel like you're working really hard and you're not always seeing results. Instead, there's hundreds of other places where you can create change in your eating without even focusing on food. Yes. Without even focusing on food. And I teach them to you and teach you how to find those places in this session. So you're going to want to watch this whole or listen to this whole episode. And like I said, you may want to go over to the replay page. You can access that by registering at weightsolutionsforphysicians.ca/binge so that you can see some of the visuals. If you're a visual learner, that may be helpful for you to kind of visualize the different places where you could create interventions for yourself that aren't about just trying not to eat. And when we can find, this is why I love this topic so much, and I've had so much fun doing this live session, is when we can find the places that aren't about food, and we can make a change, a shift. They're not big changes you need to be making. What ends up happening is it impacts whether or not that urge to binge shows up later in the day, but it also makes your day better because you're actually correcting the reason why that urge to binge is showing up at the root before it even has started rolling down the tracks. You're making a tiny little shift when it's the easiest place to intervene. Okay, so have a listen to this live session. Any questions, send me an email, info@weightsolutionsforphysicians. We still have one live session left. Make sure you get on that list so you can come join me live, because if you do these live, you get to ask me questions. You get to be in there asking me for help and you get my direct support. You want to make use of that. So head over to weightsolutionsforphysicians.ca/binge. I know you're busy when you're listening to this, but literally just pause your podcast, do it now. Because if you tell yourself you're going to do it later, you're probably not. Let's be honest. I would neither. I'd be like, oh yeah, I need to do that. And I would continue to completely forget about it. So just pause the podcast, do it now, and then get back to it. All right. Enjoy this replay. What we are talking about today is beyond trying not to binge. So you spent a long time trying not to binge. I'm sure of it, just because I've talk to enough people with binge eating. And if just trying not to binge was the answer,
probably would have worked by now because you've probably put enough effort into trying not to binge that it should have worked by now, right? So instead, what I'm going to teach you today is more effective places to focus your energy. I truly believe that you can put less energy into this and feel more in control. It's not a situation where to get in control of your binge eating, you need to be working harder. I think you actually need to be working less hard. And by using some of the techniques we're going to talk about today and thinking about binge eating the way I'm going to teach you to think about it today, it will make it easier for you to put less energy in and create change without working harder. Does that sound good? So welcome. I'm Siobhan Keefe. For those of you who have not met me before, I'm an obesity medicine physician. I'm a certified life coach, and I've spent the past 5 years helping physicians feel more in control with eating, find freedom around food, without working harder, without resorting to diets and restriction, because it definitely can be done. And that's my passion, is helping people find those ways where it's like, oh, this feels so much better. And when it feels that way, it's so much easier to do it long term. So disclaimer quickly is this presentation is for educational purposes, does not constitute medical advice. I am giving you educational coaching perspectives to think about binge eating. This is not medical treatment of binge eating disorder. I just want to be really clear about that. If you have concerns, medical concerns for yourself, please contact your personal physician. All right, the binge eating boot camp. We are doing binge eating support all month long here. We've got 3 live sessions. This is number 2. If you missed the first one, totally fine. The replay is available. It'll be on the same page that when we send out this replay, so you can watch both of them. I'm also going to put these onto the podcast. I haven't yet, just to make it easy where you can listen to the audio of it really easily. And then regular email support. So in between, I hope that you're getting the emails, the little videos I've been sending you, just as ways of keeping your mind focused on what you're trying to do. Just little motivational nudges through the week is what I want those to be. And my promise to you in this boot camp is I'm here to support you all month. You will end this month with a deeper understanding of your binge eating, which makes it a lot easier to start recovery. However, I just want to be really clear that binge eating doesn't recover in 1 month. It's not like, oh, thanks for that one thing, Siobhan, and now I'll never binge eat again. That's just not the way it works. Recovery from binge eating really does take time and support, because the thought patterns and the neural pathways that are there that have led to the binge eating, that have been involved in the binge eating, are fairly deeply embedded. And it takes time to kind of unwind it and build new coping strategies. So it would be a disservice to me in this month if I made you think that this month of boot camp is going to solve all your binge eating concerns. I think it's going to give you a really good start. It's going to give you a really positive way to view your binge eating and recovering from it, but it's not the full fix. Today, we're going to talk about the biggest mistake everybody makes. We're going to talk about how to stop just trying not to binge. And we're going to talk about why moving away from trying not to binge will actually help you feel better and help you feel more in control. So just to refresh, or for those of you who haven't watched the first session yet, binge eating is really based on a binge restrict cycle. So you have a binge, and then after the binge, your brain kind of pushes you more towards restriction. I need to be extra careful, all those sorts of thoughts. And then when you're feeling restricted and you're really trying to be extra careful, plus you start to have just daily stresses, that actually pushes you back towards the binge. And what we are going to do today is I've really taken this binge restrict cycle and I've kind of stretched it out for you so that you can see all these different places. Like along each of these arrows between the binge and the restrict, there's hundreds of different places you could intervene to make a change in your eating. And so that's what we're doing today, is we're really stretching it out to show you all the different places. Today's talk is not meant for you to be like, okay, I have to put in place all these hundreds of different ideas Siobhan told me. And we're not going to get into the nitty gritty of exactly like how do you change each one. I'll give you overviews. My hope for today's talk is that you're going to walk away feeling hopeful, feeling like you have more of a say in the binge eating cycle, that you can see more places where you can have control. And feeling like, you know what, I can see how I could make a difference in this beyond just trying not to binge. And if you walk away just with that hope of, okay, I could see how it could be different, that in its own right is going to go a long way for you to feeling more in control with your binge eating. So let's talk about, how does trying to control your eating usually look? So it usually looks like this, right? You go through your day kind of hoping it's not going to happen. And then you start to notice an urge to binge, or you start to binge and you're like, gosh, why does it keep coming back? Like that defeated feeling out of the gate, right? And so from that place of, oh, dang it, it's back, that's where you often try to create change. Okay, I really want to binge. I really want to have that food, but I can't, I'm not allowed. I'm going to try not to. And working from there. Tell me in the chat if you can relate to that, if you see yourself in that image. The other way that I think often it gets approached is this. So you wake up in the morning and you start thinking about the possibility that you may binge that day, and start thinking, oh, I hope it doesn't happen today. Or what if I have another binge today? And this is actually quite similar to the first one, in that you're thinking about it in the morning, but you're not actually thinking about anything between you and the binge. It's, you're kind of projecting forward to the place where the urge to binge starts and just hoping it doesn't happen. And so I see in the chat, lots of people are saying, yeah, you relate to this. Do you guys relate to this one too? The waking up and being like, oh geez, I just hope that just doesn't happen today. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you a whole lot of things so you don't have to be sitting there thinking, I hope it doesn't happen today. You would be able to think, okay, you know, where do I want to focus today to support myself? That would be a much more positive and effective way to talk to yourself, and you'll have a better way of doing that after today's session. And so think about this. How much energy in a day do you spend trying not to binge? And share in the chat if you feel comfortable. But just think, like, what is the energy cost for you throughout your day of worrying about binging, hoping it doesn't happen, actively trying not to, trying to stop a binge when it's actually happening? How much does that take out of you in an average day? Share in the chat if you feel comfortable. And part of the reason why it takes so much energy is because of how we've been taught to approach it, because we've been given this one note, this just try to stop binging. When the urge comes, just try to not do it. That's why it takes so much energy, because it's not an effective place to exert change. And I'll show you that down the road today. And it's like one thing. You have one option to find success, and that's really hard, right? So what's wrong with this approach is you have one place to focus, and it's the hardest place to create change in the binge restrict cycle. So thinking of it, I had a medical analogy. Like, imagine if you could go through your day and the only tool you could use, the only diagnostic tool, would be a stethoscope. That's all you have, right? That would make a normal office day, clinic day challenging if that's the only way you could diagnose people. But then imagine only being like that in and working in the ICU. So like a harder location, a harder place, and you only have one tool. So my best medical analogy that I can come up with. So this is why it doesn't work, right? We need more tools, and the more tools you arm yourself with, the more successful you will be and the more it will feel. You can put a ton of energy into trying not to binge and not actually see change in your eating, right? Like, again, tell me in the chat if you've been there where you work really hard not to binge. You are trying so, so hard to stop it. And at some point you're like, I just give in. I don't know how to stop this. And you start eating. And, you know, if that's you, you're not alone. That happens to many people, because just trying to stop the binge once that urge is already there is one of the hardest places to create change. And inside Thrive Academy, when I'm working with physicians, I can teach tools to change there, and we do, but most of our time is not actually spent trying to create change there. It's spent in these other areas that I'm going to share with you. And the problem with this too is, like, you're putting a ton of energy in, you are working, and then you still end up feeling out of control, which then makes you feel frustrated, feel like you're failing. And it's not that you're failing, it's that it's the wrong place to intervene. And so just reading through the chat, so yeah, Tracy said a lot of thoughts about food through the day, followed by, no, I can't have that, no, stay away from that. And then you end up giving in, even though you intend not to eat. Yeah. And Val, you said, yeah, you identify with the trying not to, and then just at some point being like, I'll just give in. And again, you guys aren't alone. For those of you that are resonating with that and can identify with that, you're totally not alone. It's a really important thing to know. It's not just you. There's reasons why it happens that way. So think about this. More places to intervene means empowerment. If we continue on my medical analogy, you know, if you go from only having a stethoscope to diagnosing things to be in a location where you've got a stethoscope, you've got access to x-ray lab quickly, ultrasound maybe, you feel more empowered in your ability to figure out what's going on, right? It's the same thing here. The more places you give yourself that you could intervene, the more places you learn where you could intervene, it will mean you feel more empowered. And when you feel more empowered, you will be more successful. It will become simpler for you to start to understand your eating and create change. Okay, let's start looking, why does this happen and where can we intervene? So thinking about before the binge. So again, standing there in the morning, what are the different things that happen between when you get up and when that urge to binge shows up? And, you know, this is just examples. Yours might look slightly different. If you have some, you can throw them in the chat. But the big thing to know is that you don't just magically go from feeling okay in the morning to wanting to binge later in the day. It's not like it's just like you go from okay to zoop, I want to binge. There's things that are happening in between there. Now, for some of you, it may feel like you magically go to wanting to binge, and that's okay. It's just that you haven't learned to look for the things that are causing it. So it feels like the binge is just happening on its own. When you learn how to look for the things that are actually causing it, then you can start creating some change. So what actually happens is maybe you wake up in the morning with some regret about yesterday's eating. And then as you get ready, you feel rushed getting out of the door. Maybe the kids slowed you down. Maybe something else happened. You feel like you might be late for the office. Maybe you hit some traffic on the way. Then, you know, you ask to fit some patients in as soon as you get to work, or you get a bunch of phone calls for extra consults as soon as you get to work. As you go through your day, maybe you start to run behind. Maybe skip lunch to try to catch up. Do paperwork over lunch, try to catch up on your notes over lunch. Just see patients over lunch, trying to catch up. Then maybe, you know, you have a patient encounter that's challenging, that, you know, leaves you a little frustrated or questioning yourself or all the different things. And you keep going, you get interrupted by a bunch of phone calls, get further behind, realize you have to catch up on your notes tonight. Keep going without any breaks, because now you're behind and you feel like you can't take a break and you still end up finishing late. And then that urge to binge shows up. And who, this is obviously artificial, and it may have shown up at any point, but tell me if you resonate with that type of day. And the reason why I did these graphics in the way I did, where there's a bar for each of these points, is each of these are individual stressors. Each of these are intervention points. And we could, I simplified a day. There's so many other things that probably happen in the course of a day. Each of them are places where you could intervene and create change. And when you intervene earlier in the day, and you bring some of that, you take one of these stress bars out or you bring them down, you're less likely for that urge to binge to show up. If you intervene on a couple of these in the day, then again, you're even less likely for it to show up. And I'm going to show you a different way of thinking about that, that I think is really helpful. But I want you to just think through what feelings drive binges for you. I'm going to give you a way of kind of being the detective and figuring this out for you. And if you don't know, like I said, for some of you, it may just feel like the binge just happens. You have no warning. That's okay too. But then what I would suggest for your homework is spend time being curious. When you have a binge, be like, what was I feeling right before this? So that you can start to figure out what these feelings are. So think about what feelings drive binges for you. When you generally have a binge, how are you feeling? Is it stressed? Is it having no time? So kind of that frenzied feeling. Is it feeling frustrated? Is it feeling exhausted, tired, defeated about something? Frustration, I see. Yeah. Anybody else have any other ones? And then what you want to think is angry, fatigue, yeah, stress, frustration, defeated. Absolutely. So what you want to think about is, okay, if the thing that drives binges is frustration, for example, when is it that I start to experience that feeling in the day? And what I encourage you to do is go as far back in the day as you can. So what's the earliest point where I start to notice I'm collecting some frustration? And what I would suggest is that would be a very good place to start focusing. Because when you're focusing way back at the beginning of the day, when you first start to collect that frustration, it's not about food then. The urge to binge has not started. Food cravings have not started. Your brain hasn't yet connected that frustration to the eating. And so it's a cleaner place to create change. You can look at it, create changes, and it's not about I'm not allowed to eat or I have to make myself not eat. It's about, can I deal with this frustration so that I feel better? And then your day feels better, but also you are less likely for that urge to binge to show up. So think through your day and be like, what is the earliest point where I would start experiencing that feeling? And start focusing there. So another way to think about your binge eating, so the before the binge, is like this. And those of you in Thrive Academy, this will be somewhat familiar because you've seen me draw this out for a slightly different purpose. But basically, if we have our stress level on the y-axis, time on the x-axis, you can think that you have kind of a binge threshold point. So at some point, you have stresses that go up and down through your day, through multiple days, through weeks. Everybody is on a different pattern. And at some point, it crosses the threshold where you start to have an urge to binge, you binge. And then as you recover from the binge, the stress generally comes down a little bit. So what we can do then, we have two options on how we can change this. Number one is we can increase the threshold. So we can do things to move the threshold up, meaning that it takes more stress to cross over to where your brain wants to suggest binging as a solution. Option two is we can decrease stressors. So we can learn tools that make it so we don't get as stressed during the day, that things don't get under our skin in the same way. So those stressors are less likely to cross over the threshold. And the best option is that we do both. And I think this is really the power of coaching for things like binge eating, is this is what we're doing, is you increase the threshold through learning new skills, changing how you're thinking about things when they do stress you out, coping strategies, all those different things. But you also learn how to lower your stressors on a daily basis. So you're doing both. And the combination of that actually makes it so that you're much less likely to binge, where if in the first session I talked about what binge recovery looks like, which is less frequent binges, they're less intense, meaning you don't eat as much, they don't last as long, and you recover faster. And it's through a combination of raising your threshold and learning how to lower your stressors that does that. So that's lovely, but how do you increase your threshold and how do you decrease your stressors, right? So reducing your stressors, think about this. Stuff happens in your day. A lot of times we don't actually have direct control over the things that happen in our day, like needing to fit patients in, having extra phone calls happen, you know, what our staff at the office does, what our kids are doing, all that sort of things. We don't have direct control over it. Then the things that are happening in our life trigger thoughts. So we have thoughts about those things that are happening. So say you get asked to fit a couple of patients in, that's the circumstance, the thing that happens. And then you might have thoughts of, oh, I'm going to be so far behind today. I don't really have time for this. I'm already too busy, right? And those thoughts create feelings. So then you might feel stressed. You might feel kind of harried, short on time. And the place where you have control, where you can make changes, is how you're thinking. So between when things happen in your day and how you feel, there is a space where you can change your thoughts. So my example of fitting in a couple patients, thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so far behind, making you feel stressed, making you feel overwhelmed, you may just want to change that thought to, okay, I guess I just really have to focus on being efficient to get everybody seen. And that's going to give you a very different feeling, maybe focused, might be the feeling, or maybe even just neutral sometimes. But it then becomes something that could have added a whole bunch of stress. So could have brought those stress levels up closer to that threshold. But by just shifting your thought, you then bring that stress down. So as you go, if you had to choose one thing to focus on to feel more in control of your binge eating, it's working on your thoughts, being intentional with your thoughts, both around food and in your day, because all of it adds to binge eating or interacts with your binge eating patterns. So the change, the threshold, we change that through skill development. That's things like being able to experience cravings without eating, catching yourself, understanding how to stop a binge once it starts, learning ways of processing that energy. So when you do catch yourself in that stressful situation and you think, oh my gosh, I'm thinking I might end up having a binge, being able to bring yourself down from that. All of those are just skills that you can learn and practice. Practicing intentional thought management, similar to what we just talked about, and then learning from your mistakes. So you will make mistakes. We are human. Man, as physicians, we would love to be perfect though, right? But we make mistakes. Mistakes do not mean you're failing. They just mean there's something to learn about it. They just mean the way that you were approaching that in that moment didn't really work for you. And you can learn from that. It doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong or there's something wrong with you. It just means that that's an opportunity where you could learn more. You could do something a little bit differently so that it works better for you. We're going to now talk about more places to intervene, because I want you to know all the different places. But honestly, if I have to choose one place to intervene, and where do I spend most of my time when I'm helping physicians with this, it is over in the what can we do before the binge. So maybe that urge to binge just never shows up. Or when it does show up, maybe it's quieter. It's easier to then manage. It doesn't feel so compelling and compulsive. So more places to intervene. One thing to know is that all binges stop eventually, which is true, right? When you're in it, it may not feel like it's going to stop. You may worry it may not stop. But if you think of your history of binging, they all stop eventually. And so asking yourself, what is it that actually makes me stop eating? What creates that line where I stop and I start to recover from the binge? And share in the chat if you can think of what it is for you. I've heard a lot of different things. Some people, it's I run out of food, all the snacks are out of the house. Some people, it's I feel so physically uncomfortable. Some people, it's the family comes home because they only binge eat when people aren't around. As I work with physicians, I think it often starts to be they're able to kick in with some of the thoughts and some of the tools that we've used and shift how they're thinking about it, which then lets them get out of binge. Yeah, Kathy, you said distracted by something else. It's useful to know what makes you stop eating because then you can work on amplifying it. You can be like, okay, if this works to stop me from eating or to stop the binge when it just happens, is there a way I can actually use it intentionally? So like if distraction is what actually stops your binge, can you think about ways you could distract yourself? Yeah, and Tracy said, feeling the physical discomfort, getting distracted, processing feelings. Yeah, and so again, thinking, you know, are there ways that you could do it earlier? Generally, what does not make you stop eating is telling yourself that you have to stop eating. That's usually not the thing that works. So what does work? Once you've started eating, how do you stop? This, if I had to have like the biggest question I think people ask me, or the biggest struggle people have is like, how do I stop once I've started? And I'm going to share my thoughts about your different options for doing that. This would not be the first place I intervene, but if you're in a binge, knowing how to do this and how to start creating change here, I think is really powerful. And anytime you don't have to feel out of control, like you're at the mercy of hopefully this will stop eventually, where you're like, okay, I can see how you can start shifting to help this stop. I think that's really, really helpful. Really good for you. So once you've started eating, once the binge has started, the way I think about it is you have two options. Number one, you could try to stop eating. And I would guess everybody on this call has tried that, right? You've tried to rein the horse in and it's hard to do. It's possible. With the right skills, willpower isn't that skill generally. That's not the skill you need to stop this. But it is hard to do, and you're trying to do it during a time where you are vulnerable. And when I say that, because you're already in a binge, we can assume there was some sort of vulnerability going on that your brain thought it needed to fix with food. And so asking yourself to do really hard things in that moment might not be fair, might not be the best use of your energy. So the other option you have is you can stop things that perpetuate the eating. So I was thinking about like analogy for this, like the trying to stop eating is like you're doing effort, you're working. Like if you're in a car, you're like jamming on the gas and like putting work in to create change. The stopping things that perpetuate the eating is essentially like taking your foot off the gas. It slows things down, but it's not by putting more effort. You're actually kind of taking some effort away that then has things slow down. Maybe not the best analogy, but basically one is option one is putting more effort in a time where you may not have more effort to give. Option two is easing off on the things that are actually perpetuating the eating. So you're putting less effort in, but it starts to slow down the binge. So you might be thinking, what are those things that perpetuate the eating? What those are is the shaming of yourself. So any tough love type thinking about the fact that you are eating in the moment, I shouldn't be doing this. I can't believe I'm here again. Like all the different things that you say to yourself, it perpetuates a binge. If you think about it, when you say, I can't believe I'm doing this, I'm blowing it, and you feel like a failure, you feel defeated, what are you likely to do? Does that make you want to stop eating, or does it make you be like, well, I guess I may as well keep going. I'll have that next thing, try and make myself feel better. It generally will keep the binge rolling. Telling yourself that eating is wrong, making it a moral situation, perpetuates a binge. Making the food you're eating sound scarce, like, I'm not allowed to eat this, you know, starting tomorrow, I'm not going to have that food ever again. Then your brain's like, well, if this is my only chance, let me make sure I get it in right now. And then telling yourself you're out of control. If you tell yourself you're out of control, you are going to feel out of control. If we can change the conversation to, okay, I'm making some choices to eat some food I don't normally eat, or I'm feeling really stressed right now, and right now I'm choosing to eat food to try to make it feel better. It lets you stay in control. And anytime you can be the one that's holding the power, sorry, got the hiccups, that's holding the power in this, it's going to become easier for you to stop. Okay, now, so we've talked about before the binge, we've talked about during the binge. Now let's talk about after the binge. What happens after the binge is over? How do you usually speak to yourself after a binge? Type in the chat if you feel comfortable sharing. And so I wrote down some examples here. If you're sitting there, you've stopped eating, you just recently had a binge, you might not be feeling the best about yourself because guilt and shame and everything is built into the binge cycle. Yes, Tracy said shame, disgust. What is it that you say to yourself that makes you feel ashamed or disgusted? Can you pick up the actual thoughts that you say? And so the way I think about this is often there's thoughts of shame. And so these are some examples. You may say different things to yourself. You may say worse things to yourself. I tend to edit myself when I write these because I don't really want to write some of the horrible things that we would actually say to ourselves. But I can't believe I did that again. What's wrong with me? Nobody else does this. What if people find out? So thoughts of shame after the binge, and then thoughts of restriction, which would sound like, okay, I need to be extra careful today. I'm going to do a longer fast. That's it. No more junk food for me. And I really need to start a diet. Maybe actually go on to the Facebook group and see what people are doing, or start counting your macros that day and decide to be like, not just a little bit better with them, but like perfect with them. All of that are thoughts of restriction that can come up. And then the other one is thoughts of scarcity. And the thoughts of scarcity and restriction overlap, but the experience is different. Like restriction is like, I'm only allowed this much food and I have to be very careful with the food I eat. Scarcity is more like, I'm not allowed to eat that food anymore. So scarcity would be like, I'm cutting out sugar for good. That's it. No more sugar for me. And I can't ever eat that food again because I obviously can't be trusted with it. That cake looks good. Thinking about like at the, you know, in the office room, staff room, that cake looks good, but I'm not allowed to eat that, or I can't eat that. And I won't let myself eat bad food anymore. I won't let myself eat junk food anymore. Those are thoughts of scarcity, which function a little bit differently than the restriction, in that they start making your brain thinking, oof, like I really like to eat it, but I'm not allowed to, which then makes it think about how much it wants to more. And so the reason for sharing these is that these are your intervention points. And if I was choosing the places to intervene when we're talking about binge eating, number one would be working before the binge, before that urge ever comes up, like what we've talked about at the beginning. Number two would be here after the binge. Number three would be during the binge or immediately before a binge. So these can be a reasonable place to intervene because what you do here can influence if you end up back into that binge restrict cycle. So shame, restriction, scarcity, those would be the big ones I could think of. And so shame, we can shift it over to compassion. And like I said, it doesn't have to, compassion isn't the same as permissiveness, but it can be, I noticed that that happened. I wonder what was going on. I noticed that that happened. What could I learn from it? How could I do things a little differently next time? Those are all more compassionate thinking. I can see why that may have happened, given that, you know, X, Y, or Z happened today. How do I want to manage those things differently? Those are all compassionate ways to speak to yourself about your eating. Restriction can become abundance. I love this. And when I'm working with physicians inside Thrive Academy for physicians, I really work on like everything we do, can we make it feel abundant? So when you're planning the food that you're going to eat that's healthy, let's make it feel abundant. Let's be like, this food is so amazing and so delicious. I never feel restricted. Specifically for binge eating, after the binge, if you start to notice restrictive thinking coming in, just switching to, you know, all I need to do is eat food that really satisfies me today. Or I'm going to plan some extra healthy options that I really enjoy today. Doing things where you can just get away from that restriction and feel abundant and good about the food that you're eating. And then scarcity, the swap for it would be to reassurance. So when your brain's thinking scarcity, like, oh, this food's special and I don't get it very often and I may never get it again, I think it's much more powerful to be like, it's okay. We can have any food at any time. And this is a big main point that I think we all need to adopt in our lives because it's true. We can go out and get any food we want in any amount we want at any time. If I woke up at 2 a.m. and I wanted chips and ice cream, I can go get a large amount of chips and ice cream. So when we say to ourselves, we can't have that food, that I'm never allowed that food again, it's false feeling. From a brain perspective, it works a lot better to be like, you know what? If we really want that food, we can have that food. But here's why we might not want it all the time. That works a lot better than, no, that food's gone. You're never allowed it again. And the final step is learning from what happened and thinking about what you want to do differently next time. And this is a big one because when we are shaming ourselves about our eating, when we are telling ourselves it never should have happened, it's wrong because it happened, generally it is hard to look at it and learn from it. It becomes this thing that you don't want to look at and you just want to shove away and pretend like it never happened. And that's doing yourself a big disservice because then you never get the opportunity to learn from it. And then you keep repeating it over and over and over and over again. If we can take the shame away, go to the compassion, and then that can allow us to be like, okay, what was it today? What is it that pushed me to this point today? And what could I do differently tomorrow to make it less likely that it's going to happen? If we can let go of that perfectionist thinking that if we're doing things well, we never binge, and recognize that, you know, you're human. There are going to be times that things get under your skin. And even if you've been working on this for a long time, there will still be times where you cross that threshold and you have a binge. And it's honestly not a big deal if you can recover from it, because you have those skills, and if you can learn from what happened, which then helps make it less likely to happen down the road. Okay, so tell me in the chat, how are you feeling about your ability to find places to intervene in your binge eating? And just as a summary while you guys are sharing that, there are hundreds of places to intervene. I simplified like the different places, but there are so many different places. You give me a binge eating episode, I can find so many different places where we could create an intervention. We can focus before the binge, once you start eating, after the binge is over, and then really learning from whatever happens. And like I said, my preference when I'm working with physicians and what I think is most effective with less effort is focusing before the binge, figuring out what are those triggers, what is the earliest point I can intervene. And then second favorite spot would be changing how you're thinking after you've had a binge. And the spot that I put less effort in and less thinking about, because it does take more energy when you're in it, is stopping a binge before it happens, or stopping it when you're in it. Those things come and you can build that skill. They're just not where I would start. And so just remember, binge eating is very challenging to recover from alone. And I'm here to help. I do this every day. I have Thrive Academy for Physicians, where we have a specific binge eating content. And if you want help, if you want to step out of the binging and learn the skills that will last you your life, so you don't have to feel out of control of binging again, just email me. Respond to one of the emails I've sent you this week and just say, hey, Siobhan, can we talk about how you could help me? And I'll give you information about the program and we can set up a time to chat.
All right. So many places that you can intervene and create change in your binge eating that have nothing to do with food. How freeing does that feel to realize that you don't actually have to always be thinking and focused on food in order to create real lasting change in binge eating? In fact, it's probably better if you spend less time focusing and thinking about food if you want to create real change. Now, if you have been enjoying these boot camps, if you are a physician who identifies with binge eating, I want to invite you to come join us inside Thrive Academy for Physicians. Thrive Academy for Physicians is the program designed for physicians struggling with eating, either stress eating or binge eating. And it is the only program that is designed for physicians with binge eating. I've got years of helping physicians overcome binge eating, and I know that it's possible for you too. You don't have to continue struggling, feeling out of control, feeling frustrated at yourself. You just need to get better tools, and I teach them to you inside Thrive Academy. Plus, you get layers and layers of personalized support so that you can customize an approach so it actually works in your real life and you have confidence you can do it long term. Because when we're talking about binge eating, short-term diets are not going to be what's going to help you. It's going to be having longer term support and tools that actually work in your life, where you're like, yeah, I can see myself doing that 5 years from now. If I hit a rough patch, I know what I can do about that. I know how to problem solve it. I know how to get through it and get back to my normal. That's what I teach you to do inside Thrive Academy. And that's what's been missing from all the diets and all the stuff you've tried before. That's why they haven't worked. It's not your fault they haven't worked. So come join us inside Thrive Academy. It will change your life. 6 months from now, you won't have to be worrying about whether or not you're going to have a binge. If a binge happens, you'll know why it happened and you'll know what to do about it. You can be in food environments that normally may have really triggered you and may have made you feel out of control while feeling pretty comfortable and not working hard to not eat. I want you to just take a moment to imagine the freedom that would offer you, how much space would open up in your life. Head over to Start to Thrive. That's start2thrive.ca. Learn more about the Thrive Academy program and then submit an application. Your application has no obligation to it. It's your opportunity to just tell me a little bit about yourself. The next step then is we book a time to talk together about what your specific challenges are and how I can help you. And then if it feels like a good fit, you join Thrive Academy and you learn how to manage your binge eating for the rest of your life in 6 months. All right, head over to Start to Thrive. That's start2thrive.ca. That's all you need to do for your first step. Fill out an application, and then we'll get going from there. Have a great day, guys. Bye-bye.